Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
And I'm John Wine.
Like the drink, I married a great name and man.
We've been married for 21 years.
But we've been together for 29 years.
We have 3 children, 2 girls and a boy.
John is a petroleum engineer.
And Amy is a marriage therapist.
We have decided to try and work together, bringing you this podcast. We know from experience that relationships aren't perfect, far from it.
And Amy has worked with hundreds of couples in a large private practice in Texas.
You can get those sparks of flying with some tips and tricks we've learned by making a lot of marriage mistakes.
And from all of Amy's professional work with couples, hey, you should be married to a marriage therapist.
So if you want to have a marriage on fire,
here we go.
Hey, this is Amy Wine here, and I'm sitting here with the good old hubs, Mr. John Wine, ready to bring you episode 4 of the Marriage on Fire podcast.
I can't believe we're at number 4 already.
I know, time is flying. Can you believe it? How much fun are we having doing this?
I didn't know I had this many words in me.
You don't. I don't know what's happened, but I love it. It's that caveman coming out, right? Do you remember that? We went to see that show.
Yep. It's my favorite show of all time. I would say any couple needs to go see that show because it is so spot on about men and women and how we act, the way we act. It is absolutely bang on.
Yeah, you laughed, but what was it called?
Defending the Caveman.
I knew you'd remember that. I knew it was a caveman or something.
Yep.
You really hung on to that part where men only have so many words a day and women have so many.
We are very comfortable not saying anything.
So
we can tolerate silence.
Absolutely. And I remember you kept saying, I only have 10,000 words a day and I've already used them. And I've got like 50 or 60,000 or something. Yeah, I remember going to that because you just rolled in laughter the whole time. It was Defending the Caveman. I don't even know if they still have it. But if they do, we need to find out and go see it again. It's been a long time.
It has been.
All right, today I want to talk about commitment. So what do you think of when I say commitment? What's your definition of commitment?
When I think of commitment, it's very simple. I am forsaking all others for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Forsaking all others for me. That seems a little, I don't know, that puts pressure or something. I don't want you to forsake all others for me.
Well,
that's what commitment is to you, though.
To me, that's what it is in the most simplest definitions.
Okay. See, commitment to me.
I'm putting you first.
Oh, yes.
Again, I'm not venturing out another, you know, very meaningful relationships. I mean, it's just you, right?
It better be just me.
The physical, emotional, whatever, right? That's, to me, that's the definition of commitment.
Okay. I get what you're saying, I think. There's so many ways we could spin what you just said.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm taking it in the most right or wrong in the most literal sense.
Yes,
right?
You are. Okay, so to me, commitment is something that, like when you say your vows at your wedding, when you're saying I do, you have all of these things that you say in sickness and in health, and boy, marriage is definitely in sickness and in health. So I don't want to go into the things that me and my stomach issues have generated for our relationship. But commitment is all of those things that we said in our vows, that we are not going to have outside relationships. We're not friends, but, you know, other people. Because I'm 100% committed to you as my spouse.
Right.
So I'm not going to go have an affair. I'm going to tell you first that it's not working or whatever, if that was the case. But I think it's also a mental thing. Like, I think you have to be mentally committed. And commitment to me means saying you'll never leave. I think I've tested you on that a lot in our long relationship. Right. I've always felt you're going to leave me.
Right.
I've never felt good enough or worthy of you. It's nothing you've done. I mean, it's totally, I think, in me.
Hold on.
Are you zoning out?
I just had like a brain meltdown. It just locked up.
Apparently, it's too much emotion for you today.
No, I mean, you're exactly right, Amy. So, yeah, I mean, that is the commitment. You're going through thick and thin. You're going to always be there. And that is another part of it, which is a big part of it, right? And I think sometimes, you know, when I think of today's society, I think that right or wrong, and everybody gets on me about this, but I just think that especially millennials, or what is it, Y1, Y2 millennials, Generation Z now, you know, they've come brought up, it's kind of like me, and I feel like, you know, if you want my honest opinion, I feel like a lot of the high divorce rate of stuff is that the minute that people, you know, they want it, and if they can't have it, and if the marriage interferes with that, or the marriage isn't just making them feel 100% magical all the time, there's just too much of a willingness to, like, say, I'm done, and just walk away, you know, be very flippant and walk away from it, right?
Absolutely. People just walk away from it. That's why the divorce rate's so high. You don't have a commitment on a core value level.
Right.
Right? So you hear the saying, the grass isn't greener on the other side, right?
Right.
Like, you can leave the marriage and go find someone new, but the grass isn't always greener. I'm going to take
right.
a step further and saying, you're going to have problems there. You're just going to have a different set of problems.
Or challenges, let's just say.
Challenges.
What yeah, there's going to be challenges because, as we said before, you know, maybe the initial physical attraction or whatever, that's only going to last so long. And you've got to make the other side, you know, the whole compatibility and interaction, tolerances, that has to be what works long term.
So you're not physically attracted to me anymore?
I am, dear. But you know as well as I do, you see it every day. I mean, you have couples every day where the physical part of it has become mundane to a lot of people,
yeah.
and they see something else uh-huh. that looks a little bit maybe younger, a little bit more buff, a little bit whatever, and, you know, pretty soon it leads to problems.
Yeah, their eyes are straining. They're going to have a different set of challenges, as you say, a different set of challenges or problems
right.
with that person. But we don't see that because we go through that honeymoon phase again.
Right. And does it get back to, like, where we just want, and, you know, we won't take, you know, if we can't have it, we're not happy, mm-hmm. you know, it's a society thing. I have my thoughts on it. Won't go there, but...
Thank you. Teasing.
Won't go there, but, you know, anyway...
All right, so we have our definitions of commitment. So I love pulling this exercise out in marriage counseling. It's kind of why I threw it on you today.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the dictionary definition of commitment. There's two of them, so hang tight with me. So this is one that most people say, kind of like we came along this. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity, a pledge or an undertaking, right? So your dedicated, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity. It's a bond, attentiveness, a vow, a promise, oath, a contract, a covenant, a pact. So all those words are like what you would think of when you think of commitment, right? That's all the positive part of them. They're adhering you to this other person in marriage. Okay, so here's the second definition of commitment, though. Like, there's two. It's an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. An engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. So it's a responsibility, an obligation, a duty, a tie, a liability, a burden, pressure, a task. What do you think?
I think that a lot of times that my definition of commitment might be that second one there, right?
Mm-hmm. I find that a lot in couples that I see. Yeah. And when I say the second one, they're all like, oh, yeah.
Because now we have another person involved. We can't just do anything we want when we want to do it or whatever we want to do, right?
Your only child syndrome's hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, totally.
Yeah, you're now responsible to someone else, right?
Right.
That becomes an obligation and a duty. So does it weigh you down? A burden, a pressure. So when in our relationship has it felt like a burden and a pressure to you?
Well, that's where I think I struggled. You know, we always, everybody that knows us always makes fun or brings up the fact that, you know, we dated so long before we got married. And that, but that was part of on me because I had that kind of pressure on myself that I'm only doing this once. And I'm absolutely going to be sure that I'm with the right person before I make that commitment.
Right.
Now, was that right or wrong? Because, you know, I say that and I was thinking that in my mind, but now you look back, or even I tell other people, is it really, by doing it that way, you really almost postpone your commitment because there's no real impetus that at that point, if you're already, let's say, living together or doing and going through the motions, it really became a reason to postpone the commitment. Why take the risk when I've already got, you know, as the old saying, you know, why pay for the milk
when
you, I'm getting the cow, you know, the cow's free, so I'm getting the milk, you know, but that's the way I looked at it. I was just, you know how I am. I'm only doing this once. I really think that the marriage thing is something to me. It's just exactly like it says. It needs to be entered into very seriously and not flippantly, frivolously, or, you know, treated as such. And so that was always my big thing. And maybe even the fear of commitment. Am I making the right? I don't want to make the wrong choice there, right? So I'm right. Trying to do everything in my power to validate in my mind that I'm making the right choice.
Well, and that goes back to your not wanting to take risks.
Right.
You're not a risk taker. But
I'm
8 years, dude, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I knew the minute you walked on the elevator.
And, you know, there was risk thing. I'm sure there's a, believe it or not, a maturity component, you know, tied to that. And
I love but your vulnerability right now, dude.
It is what it is.
I love it. All right. So that brings me back to a story that I made you go to marriage counseling once. It didn't last long. I pretty much remember two things. In your defense, this was in my crazy days, right? I didn't have my crap together whatsoever, and I dragged you to marriage counseling because, honestly, you said something the first session, and I think I had a negative, bad word response. And you said, hey, when you fix what's going on with her, we're going to be fine. I don't really have a problem. Just fix what's going on with her. And I remember thinking back to that, F you, right?
Yeah.
And in reality, I was taking you to marriage counseling because they needed to fix you.
Right.
You know? So
exactly.
It made me so mad because then I was like, later I realized, well, that's really what I was doing. He just had guts to say it.
Right.
Okay, so then I think we went like a few more sessions that time. Anyway, one of the things that came out that stuck with me, and I mean, I don't think I got over it until just a couple years ago maybe, is because we dated and lived together for so long, I think we were talking about commitment in marriage counseling, and I brought up those years of being committed, and you do not count those as our marriage life.
Right.
And you said to me, well, I still felt, you didn't say it to me, you said it to the counselor, I felt single.
Right.
And I was like, what the hell? How do you feel single? We were living together for 8 years. Like, I did not feel single.
Right.
Help me understand that.
Well, see, my definition of that was back to, like, right or wrong and wrong.
It's okay.
That at that time in my life, I was like, until I walk up there on that altar before God or whatever and make that commitment, I'm single. I can walk on this thing whenever I want to. If I don't, again, if I'm not, if I wasn't happy or wasn't getting what I want out of it, right? It wasn't, in my mind, I didn't think commitment meant until I walked up on that altar.
Right.
And that's why I said that, right?
Yeah. So you did things and acted in a certain way.
Yeah.
That in retrospect.
Well, I did not. You know, in a lot of circumstances, again, as you talked, putting that person first or equal, you weren't first and you weren't, you know, even a lot of times equal, you know, during those years, mm-hmm. you know, whenever, when I was making a decision, like I'm going to go, you know, do what, you know, party or go do what I want to do and you can or cannot come, you know, we've got this, you know, either way, your call. Mm-hmm. And, just kind of a very cavalier attitude about the whole situation.
Right. I just never, and I get it now. I just, that stuck with me because I thought, man, how is he committed now? Like, I didn't get there was such a finite cutoff. I finally just had to take it at face value and quit trying to analyze it because I might have a habit of analyzing things or trying to find the reason within the reason of things.
Yep.
And I just had to finally say, okay, he really was black and white on that. There wasn't gray. It's before marriage, after marriage.
Right.
For him. Because I felt married to you during those 8 years. I really did. Well,
and you know, you made a point before about, we went into counseling one time with you thinking I needed fixed and you thinking yeah. you needed fixed. And it really boils down to back what we've been talking about is just, you know, understanding people's differences and all that went on. Because I had in my mind with a lot of things that had happened in your childhood and some of the things that you hadn't, you know, you'd been exposed to that you hadn't been properly modeled. I was like, that is what is causing any or all of our problems mm-hmm. in this relationship, right?
Right.
And not even looking at myself. Potentially that I, by God, how could I do anything wrong? Because I had, you know, I thought I was just the perfect little angel and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, again, just maturity and looking back and how that changes. But it's funny to hear you say you thought you were fixing me. Mm-hmm. I had to be fixed because you weren't getting what you wanted. And I thought you had to be fixed because I wasn't tolerant of some of your behaviors. And how it all came together like that.
I know. It's kind of interesting sitting where we're at now and having a much healthier relationship. Because sometimes I feel like we wasted a whole lot of time getting here. Mm-hmm. But it's great, better than it ever was. So going back to sitting with couples all the time, I do love working with couples. I always hear, and I mean, I hear this almost every day, one of them is threatening to leave. One is threatening divorce, one is threatening to leave.
You, in the relationship, were always at, once I was committed, I was like, I'm committed.
Yeah.
We're going to fix this, whatever. Yeah, you were the one that you were going to leave, you were going to do this, you're all, and I'm like, why is she threatening this? You know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? And it just, again, maybe back to one of our early episodes about the damsel. It was like, pretty soon, if you just say, you know, then it becomes, you become just numb to it. It doesn't even have an effect anymore, right?
Right, yeah. And I always tell them, be careful, because you're going to say it one too many times, and that person, your spouse, is going to look at you and go, okay, because they're not going to beg you to stay anymore because they've right. heard it too much and they're right. done. So you're right. I will even say I was the one 3, 4, 5 times probably if we counted. I'd like to go maybe to 2 or 3, but 3, 4, 5 times in our 29 years threatened divorce. And I would say 2 or 3 of them were within a couple years span. Yeah. And we were so disconnected when you were traveling overseas all the time and we had little kids and I was staying home, which was not the best fit for me. I love my kids. Love being a mom. But this mom needs to work. So it's just a happier mom for everybody around. But I've threatened him. You never once have. I've done everything in my power to get you to say it. Because remember, I've always thought you were going to leave me.
Right. You had some abandonment issues there.
Yes, major abandonment issues.
Because things that had happened previously, right?
Right. So I brought in my childhood baggage and just expected you at some point to leave. So here I almost handed it to you on a silver platter by threatening it. But never once in 29 years have you said that to me. So you were dead right. When you made that commitment on wedding day, you were in. And I think I still had... I was all in, but I felt like I think what I knew was to run.
Yeah.
Just run.
You were thinking that this could lead to a disappointment because you'd had disappointment before, and would this just be another disappointment? You know, eventually get there.
Yeah. So I have, through becoming a counselor and seeing the other side, have vowed to never threaten that again. And to make sure I was 100% committed as well. But that actually leads to a lot of vulnerability for me. I don't even like that word. Because you'd think I'd be okay with being all vulnerable and stuff. But it's tough because we grow up thinking being weak means showing someone we're hurting. And maybe weak means that we're just hurting in the first place. So we want to show our partner we're strong, that we can take care of ourselves, but we may feel afraid that our partner won't accept all of that within us, right? I let out a lot to you, and you probably think I share a lot, but I hide the dark. So if I cry, I usually don't cry in front of you, right?
Right.
I will try to hide that because it's too vulnerable for me. It makes me want to run. And being vulnerable with you is, I think I subconsciously hid all that because it was going to give you your reason to leave me. If he sees me this dark or sees me, because I'm the one that has that depression, anxiety, things in my family history. So if he sees me this way, he will want to leave. So he can't see it.
That would be it. Yeah, that's a true fear. I can understand how you can feel like that.
Right. But actually, being vulnerable with your partner is one of the strongest things that you can do. The only thing keeping each other from having this open, trusting relationship is the fear of rejection, right? So I thought you'd leave me, which means you're going to reject me. If I tell you my deepest, darkest fears and worries, and you try to fix them, I feel rejected, right? I don't even think that I understood what accepting love and support from you was, and that to be able to receive it, I've got to show you all my layers.
Right, and that's something that I've done a better job of, and I still need to do a better job of it, is... Again, it gets back to some of what we talked about in a previous episode. When you do that, I can't treat that as a negative.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like you said, I can't hold that against you or attempt to, when there are issues, try to make it a problem that needs solving.
Yeah. You've done really good lately. Lately, in the past year.
Be more accepting because there are things that are going to happen. There are things that are going to go wrong. There are, you know, different times you're very vulnerable and all that. And instead of, you know, saying you just need to suck it up and do this or try to give advice that's not wanted, you know, I just need to be more, you know, forgiving, listening, and non-judgmental in those kind of situations.
Yeah. You've been doing that because there's been times lately even I've been thinking, I can't even think of an example right now, but I'd say something and you'd have a total different response than you've ever had before. I'd be like, wow, he just really calmed me down. And
right.
I accepted that.
And you know, our running joke is nobody wants to hear the boo-hoo banshee cry.
Yeah.
Which is the famous, it's bad.
The boo-hoo banshee is really bad. And I have to be really bad to let you see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so when you have a boohoo banshee, that's bad. So we've learned boohoo banshee, bad. Something has really gone off the rails. It's bad.
Yeah, because
when that happens.
I can't even control not letting you see it or not.
Right. That used to happen frequently, right?
Yeah.
And so...
I was dark for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had some depression issues, and I had some... disconnect. And when I feel disconnected from you, I think you can feel sucked dry sometimes by me because I need to be connected with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me making that up. I feel that you might feel that way. I don't know. I've never really asked you if you feel sucked dry by me. But sometimes I feel like I need so much more of an emotional connection than you need that it makes me a little crazy.
I would agree with that. I just think that's a general statement for men and women. I think the women definitely, in general, I'll just say, you know, probably on average that being a guy, that emotional thing is something that we don't understand, you know, with the women, and how important that is in the relationship.
Guys have emotions. They just show them differently or tend to ignore them, right? So what is something that I can do? Like, I keep hearing you say, I've got to respond to you differently, but what's something that I can do to show my level of commitment? Because your level of commitment is deep. Like, it is or it's not, right? Black and white. You are committed. I'm committed to a relationship, but I've never felt it on that level. I guess I've always expected it to end. So how can I show you my commitment to you?
Well, in the not-so-distant past, I think you've done that quite well. It used to be when your needs weren't being met, it just, like we talked about earlier in the podcast, you would immediately lash out in anger, I'm going to leave, you know, this is it, this isn't working for me, blah, 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 blah. And now, you know, since, how should I say, you're professional, what you do for a living and what you've seen and all that, I know you become, as you pointed out, that's the one thing that I appreciate that you've done is that you've recognized that, hey, man, going about threatening like that is not going to elicit the change, that the right change and the change that I want. And so when you're upset now, you voice that out without threats or anger. You know, that just goes a long way, because before, immediately, if you got into that angry mode, I just switched off. I know I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, and I can't hear, you know, I've turned off. I'm not doing that. So I know that you've made a very conscientious effort, as now you moved on and doing what you do, to recognize that, you know, going about it that way with threats and, you know, divorce or whatever, when your needs aren't being met, you are more coming to me saying, hey, you're missing this, I need this, this, and this, and you're not making those kind of threats. And I know that you're, in my mind too, I know that she's not leaving along those lines. So that's the only thing I would say that you've done, even in the last, you know, it hasn't been that long, but a few years now, that's really helped in our relationship when it comes to that.
Right. So I'm saying it in a way that you can actually hear me. One of our future episodes, we're going to talk about the anger withdrawal cycle and what it does, because I hear it in probably 90% of the couples that I work with. And it's almost like looking in the mirror backwards. It's right. Like, holy cow, if I could just pull you out of this, you're going to have the best marriage.
Yeah, because, you know, I deal with, in my particular work, and, you know, we're in a service business and we have clients, and sometimes, you know, I deal with a lot of confrontation.
Yeah.
I don't like dealing with it. I'm very much, you know, that's not my gig. I'm a pleaser, whatever. So when I get into confrontation at home, I mean, at work, I do it because it's my job. When I get home and I get that, I just shut down, right? You know, nothing happens. Certainly nothing good happens, because nothing happens. I just completely retreat, right?
Well, it makes me crazier.
Yeah, and then you think that... Yeah. That nothing's happening, and you get, you know, you're amping it up, right? Or used to amp it up.
Because I'm going to get a reaction.
Right. You're trying to, you know.
Positive or negative, I'm getting one, dang it.
Right. So it's a vicious cycle that we have luckily gotten out of, right?
Yeah.
But that was early part in our relationship.
Years.
That was a big issue, right?
Absolutely. So I think what I want the listeners to know is this definition of commitment is really a powerful exercise. So I want you each to get your spouse and go write down the definition of commitment. What is your each of your commitment? and then together go through the dictionary one, the dictionary definition, and we'll put the link of that in the show notes, or you can Google it either way, because there is a positive and a negative, and that certainly surprises people when they start thinking about it. Plus, just the conversation on what commitment means to each of you in your marriage is powerful, because I think only out of all the hundreds of couples I've seen, maybe 4 or 5 were on the same page with this definition. And it made a world of difference. So it's powerful, powerful exercise. So do you want a free e-course on 5 key ways to have a marriage on fire? Go to amywine.com. Yes, wine like the drink. You're never going to forget it. amywine.com. And get your free e-course. It's going to take you about 30 more minutes to do, and it's going to change your marriage if you take action on them. But it's very actionable, quick, 5 key steps to having a marriage on fire.
In order to celebrate the launch of the podcast, I'm doing a fun giveaway. If you leave a rating review for the podcast, you will be entered into a drawing for 4 Amazon gift cards. Plus, I am giving away 1 year access to my signature membership, Marriage on Fire. All you have to do is search Marriage on Fire in your Apple Podcast app, leave a review, and screenshot it before you hit submit. Go to amywine.com/review and to enter. That's it. Want a bonus entry? Head over to Instagram and use the hashtag Marriage on Fire Podcast. Don't forget to tag me at TheAmyWine, and I can share your share. Thanks for helping to spread the word. It means so much to me.
Up our episode for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show just so you don't miss any future episodes. While you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. I read each and every one of them. You can find all the links and information mentioned in this podcast episode at www.amywine.com/podcast. Don't forget to tag me on Instagram at TheAmyWine and let me know what you took away from this episode or what you would love for me to talk about in future episodes. Thanks for listening, and I will see you here again next week on Marriage on Fire.
Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're going to tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.